Welcome to the service of worship for Knox United Church Nepean for March the 19th, 2023. We will be recording this live service for release as a podcast around 5 p.m. I would like to start by thanking you all for your support and care for me and for my family as we've been dealing with the passing of my mother, Ann Jensen. You've been generous in giving me time to grieve, and the flowers at the front are from her service on Thursday. I have to confess, I was given the opportunity not to be here today. I decided that with the momentum that we're trying to achieve in getting our new directions process going, I didn't want to miss. But I did get muddled. And in preparing for this week's service, I used the readings for Lent 5, which is next week. But that's a problem for next week. I don't think you'll be hearing the same readings twice. We'll sort something out. Speaking of new directions, I think Ian Gibson has something he'd like to say about that.
The reason I don't have any shoes on is I managed to grab one of my wife's shoes on the way out. A little gender confused, I guess. Pick a pronoun. So just before I talk about new directions, we got some great news. Daughter Jane got sprung from the hospital last Wednesday. So that's real good. She's glad to be home with her hubby and her little boy, Luke, and Penny, the crazy Labrador. So, you know, we've got a journey ahead of us. We got to get her going, titrating up again on her pH drug. And, you know, be watchful of what's happened and work with the health professionals and make sure we don't have a reoccurrence. But anyway, thanks for all your prayers and thoughts and food and what have you. And new directions. So next Saturday, a force beyond the earth here. Next Saturday from 1 to 3, we'll be meeting here. And this will be another session with Reverend Dr. Peter Bartlett. You'll recall his last visit on the 5th of February. And we'll be considering a series of questions. There's an element in the bulletin that speaks to that. And we'll try and get a mailer out this week with an audio excerpt of our conversation with him, one of our team meetings with Peter, in terms of the process. So there's a couple of housekeeping details I'd like to make clear. There may be some things that you want to say that you might find a little indelicate to say in an open forum. So we're going to provide a mechanism for you to do that. There'll be a box, and I think we're also getting an email address together so that you can do that anonymously. We also encourage you to comment on any projects, ideas that you think would help in the growth, improvements, what have you, as we go along. And we're going to try and make as much of this stuff visible and transparent as we go along. I know there's been times in the past where great ideas have surfaced and they've, you know, submerged beneath the waves, never to reoccur or reemerge again. We're going to try and avoid that. And also, as we go along, we move through this process, try and give some feedback in terms of somebody's got an idea, after some analysis, this is what we think, okay? So it's not just like going into a black hole. So feedback, comment on the process on an ongoing basis. We've got some notice boards at the various entrances. Thank you, Margaret Cofftree. It's a sign. All the team members, 10 members on this team. So it'll invite you. Team's not just me, it's 10 people, including Linda here, and many others. So approach them at coffee, contact them with email, telephone calls, whatever. If you got something to say, by all means. This is a joint project. The whole church is involved in this initiative, not just the committee. It's our process together. Yeah.
Committee members.
Oh, excellent idea. All the committee members, please stand. Please stand. Wonderful idea, Don. How many we got? Quick count. Okay, well, a number.
Six or seven.
So it's a really exciting process we're going through. This is a chance to remake ourselves. So by all means, get involved. Hope to see you next Saturday. And if you've got any questions, we'll be around at coffee. Thank you.
Are there any other, I see hands up all over the place. fresh from Eagle Plains.
Exactly. I just add that the New Directions now has a mail slot outside the office door. So in one of those folder file things up near the top, you may have to climb up on a chair. But if you have any comments that you want to put in, feel free to do it there. But the reason I'm standing here, though, is to talk about the Algonquin College Pause Table. It's in your newsletter, but I want to emphasize it. We haven't been able to do this for 3 years. We were all set in 2020, and they shut us all down. So the Pause Table is a refreshment table held during exam time for the students at Algonquin College. And we really count on you to do some baking, so we have refreshments to give out. So we beg you to bake. We also have expenses. We have to provide the coffee and the milk and the sugar and all of that stuff. So if you don't want to bake, or even if you do bake and you have money left over, feel free to put a donation on the plate labeled Pause Table, and it will come to us and we'll be able to make the expenses. So the Pause Table is on April the 17th, Monday, April the 17th. We did think that we were working with another church, so we hadn't really done anything. But late last week, we discovered that, no, we're doing it all by ourselves. So please bake. That would be very kind. Thank you.
Just a quick announcement about food again, particularly for new members, that we do have coffee and tea. Diane and Terry have been hard at work downstairs, and cookies. So please, for everybody to come down and enjoy coffee and tea after the service.
Looks like Morley has something to add.
I'll follow Ian with more medical information. No, I just want to remind you that we do have an active refugee family. And last week they were all off school with the school break. And we took the opportunity to do some, they saw the doctor to try and deal with, I think our climate here is bothering them a little bit. And eczema, I think, is what you call part of the result. Anyway, but then I took the two teenagers, the 13-year-old daughter and the 18-year-old son, to Ottawa Public Health to update their immunization. And each of them were the recipients of 4 needles. And no one cried, no one fainted. So all is well.
Very good. Any items of good news that people wish to share today? Or any prayer requests at this time?
Yes, I just wanted to mention, if you're wondering, we're going to have hopefully have a rummage sale this year. It's going to be, we're aiming for around May 6th, that Saturday. So just want to let you know, if you're doing some spring cleaning and you have some items you want to donate to the rummage sale, just put them aside. And you'll be able to bring them to the church the week before that, okay? Thanks a lot.
For all those people who have 3 years worth of rummage. Peggy, you have your hand up? Yes.
Yeah. just a few prayers. I'm a little nervous. I'm okay. Stay at the pool, but I'm going to have eye surgery. So I'm just a little bit, I'm okay, but just a little bit hope and pray and everything's going to go good. So far I've heard it is, but anyway, just a little prayer if that could help, might pull me through.
Tell them it's cataract surgery.
And it's cataract surgery. Okay.
That would make me nervous too, Peggy. We'll keep you in our prayers for sure.
Yeah.
Any other things to share? Well, if you have good news or prayer requests that you'd like included in the bulletin, contact the church office at 613-829-2266 or by email at office@knoxnepean.ca. Other announcements can be found in the newsletter. It's circulated by email on Friday and in print on Sunday morning. These are all of the announcements for today. Let us prepare for worship. Our call to worship is responsive and it's printed in the order of service. I would invite you to stand. God has always called people from near and far. Some of us gather in body, others online. Crossing barriers of time and space. Our opening hymn can be found in Voices United at number 186. Now the Green Blade Rises, and we will sing the first and last verses. Prayer is a unison prayer. Let us pray together.
God of all consolation and compassion, your breath alone brings life to dry bones and weary souls. Pour out your spirit upon us that we may face the challenges of our lives with hope and a sense of new life. Keep us connected even when we have to be apart. Keep us loving, even when our tempers are stretched and our patience worn. Keep us filled with that sense of hope and comfort that has been your gift to your people through every crisis in every generation. Amen.
Well, I thought we were going to have to skip the children's time, but a child arrived. So, Charlotte, you want to come forward?
Oh my, what kind of hat is that? Is that a unicorn hat? Very good. That's beautiful. So, I'm going to ask you about a song. Have you ever heard a song called Dem Bones? Oh no, the foot bone's connected to the ankle bone, and the ankle bone's connected to the leg bone, and the leg bone's connected to the knee bone. Now hear the word of the Lord. You don't know that one? Okay, so when church is over, you go to your Grandpa Ian, and you ask him to sing it for you. I bet he'd be good at that. I did not check with him ahead of time. But that's a song that actually comes out of the Bible. There's a story in the Bible that we're going to be reading a little bit later about a prophet who looks out over a valley, and the whole valley is full of dead and dry bones, like skeletons. And it's sort of like Halloween, but even scarier. And they're all dead. And God says to the prophet, are they going to live again? Now, do you think dead bones are going to live again? So that's exactly what the prophet thought. But he didn't want to argue with God. So the prophet said, okay, I don't know. You tell me. And so all of a sudden, all the bones got up. And they got covered up with muscles and with skin. And there they were. But they weren't alive yet. And then the Spirit of God, the breath of God went inside, and then they were all alive again. A whole thousands and thousands of people were all alive because the breath of God got into them. That's what we call the Holy Spirit. And it was amazing. And so the prophet had to go and tell that story to tell people that no matter how bad things felt, they would come alive again because God's spirit was in them. And that's an important thing to remember. Even when things sometimes feel bad, even when things sometimes seem terrible, God is always there. And God's love comes to us through God's spirit. And spirit is like, I mean, you can hear the wind today. There's a strong wind today. In those languages, wind and spirit and breath are all the same word. And it means that God blows into us and breathes into us, and we're filled up with love and we're filled up with hope. God will do that for us and help us all the time. That's important to remember. Can you remember that? No? Okay. I'll remind you again later, okay? All right, let's fold our hands and we'll have a prayer. Dear God, thank you for your spirit.
Thank you for your spirit.
It brings us life.
It brings us life.
It brings us love.
It brings us love.
It brings us hope.
It brings us hope.
Keep your spirit with us every day.
Keep your spirit with us every day.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. You can go to Sunday school now.
Our psalm for today is Psalm 130. You can find this at page 853 in Voices United. We'll be singing the second refrain. Allison will play it through before the anthem, and we will rehearse it before we begin the psalm. Out of the depths I have called to you. O God, hear my cry. If you should keep account of what is done amiss, O God, who could stand? I wait for you, God. My soul waits, and in your word is my hope.
My soul waits for God more than the watchers long for morning, more than the watchers long for morning.
O Israel, wait in hope, for with God there is love unfailing.
With God is great power to redeem you, from all his sins.
So I have a reading from Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 to 14. The Valley of Dry Bones. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out of by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live and you shall know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath, prophesy mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live." I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, "Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, 'Our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. we are cut off completely. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord.
Lesson from the New Testament is taken from Paul's letter to the Romans, reading from chapter 8, verses 6 to 11. Paul writes, "To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, then the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also, through this Spirit that dwells in you. Amen." Here ends this lesson. Thanks be to God for these readings of the Word, and to God's name be praise and glory forever. Amen. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our salvation. Amen. So today's lesson about the dry bones is actually one that most people connect with that song for kids that I was trying to show Charlotte earlier, Them Bones. And it was kind of like an anatomy lesson. As a kid, I remembered it in much that way, and that describing skeleton bits. And then, of course, when my own kids were little, Kirsten and Ian heard it from Sharon, Lois, and Bram, who taught it to them, and they were on their records and so forth. But you know, that perspective, it's like Humpty Dumpty all over again. That children's rhyme was originally about a violent battle, possibly involving King Richard III, or maybe somebody else. The scholars are disagreeing about what exactly that nursery rhyme means. But it's a violent thing from the past that it's made its way into our culture as children's literature. In this case, we have relegated a powerful biblical story with, frankly, really disturbing imagery into something lighthearted for children. And in the process, we've also pushed aside the experiences of the African-American culture that created this song, as well as the message of the scripture itself. One thing we should remember as we consider today's lessons is that in every biblical language, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, the words for breath, wind, and spirit are identical. They're the same word in those source languages. Our challenge comes from English. English insists on borrowing words from every language under the sun and then assigning specific interpretations to each word, which is great if you're trying to be precise, if you're looking to develop a text with nuance and so forth. But it does mess it up when we're trying to understand other languages, where nuances and subtleties require us to consider which meaning a word might have in a particular context. To consider the breath of God blowing like the wind, becoming the spirit that gives us life, it's not that hard to imagine when we stop and think about it, but it's not the way we automatically think. And so stopping and looking at that can help us understand the traditional Jewish understanding that life, for example, begins at birth rather than at conception. After all, when does the first breath happen? When the doctor smacks you. Now, obviously, everybody knows that life is more complex than that. But it helps us understand the theology and the theology we read in the Hebrew Scriptures. That's the kind of understanding that informed Ezekiel and even Paul in our second lesson that gives us the very wonderful image of the breath of God being inside us, giving us both life and inspiration. Even the English word inspiration supports this. Inspiration. It means spirit or breath entering into us. That's the literal meaning. There's your linguistic lesson for today. But consider the situation of the people of God at the time that Ezekiel was writing. Ezekiel was around when the Babylonians had conquered Judah. They'd entered Jerusalem. They had destroyed the temple. They destroyed the palaces. They had taken the people into exile for 70 years. Now, the people themselves didn't know it was going to be for 70 years. They had no idea. They thought it might be forever. That had already happened to the northern kingdom of Israel. The people who had been taken away never came back. Ezekiel was around at the same time as Jeremiah. There are some who suggest that Jeremiah was actually the father of Ezekiel. So when Ezekiel had this vision of the Valley of the Dry Bones and was sent to prophecy to the people of Israel, he was talking to people who were depressed, really depressed. They were already in exile at this point. They had lost their identity as a nation. They'd lost their ability to go to the temple for worship. There was no temple, and the foundation remnants were miles away. They'd lost everything. And in the common understanding of that culture in that time, in that place, this was understood to mean that your God had been defeated along with your nation. You don't get much more depressing than that. Remember the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark? The Ark of the Covenant, that mysterious thing that everybody was looking for. Well, in the Bible, it was taken from the temple in Jerusalem to Babylon. It was placed at the feet of Marduk, the chief god of Babylon, as a sign of the triumph of the Babylonian god over the god of Judah. And that's just what they did. That was a traditional practice in the entire region. Even the Romans did something very similar 5 centuries later in Jesus' day. So, of course, the people were discouraged. They were distraught. They had no hope. It felt like they were beyond redemption. How could anything save them? Even God had been defeated. And so Ezekiel is prompted to give them this vision of a valley of dry bones, so dead there isn't even any moisture left, so abandoned and alone there isn't even anyone left over to bury them. No one even to remember them. Now, Ezekiel is not a stupid prophet. So when God says, "Can these bones live again, mortal?" he knows that the obvious answer, "No," is going to trip him up somehow. So he replies, "You know," which is a lot like saying, "Okay, you tell me," but that's not how you talk to God. So God shows him in disturbing detail how the flesh is regenerated on the bones and the bodies are reformed. I've seen enough of that original version of CSI to know just how gross this would be. As a vision, that's something you're not going to forget. It's going to haunt your nightmares for a while. That's why it was so vivid for both Ezekiel and the people that he spoke to, because they all knew death. They had seen war. They had seen decaying animals by the side of the road. They'd probably seen decaying people left abandoned after the battles. They knew what this would look like, even in reverse. They knew how horrifying it was. But you know, it's not enough. Even with that unforgettable physical revival, it's not enough. All of these bodies that have been physically restored need more. They need that breath, that wind, that spirit of God to return to life. This was a reminder to those people in exile that physical reality isn't the whole story. That even without a temple, a palace, without a place to call home, God could still be with them. God could still inspire them. And there are some, quite a few scholars who suggest that the idea of the synagogue, you know, the local congregation, began there in Babylon in exile as a way of being the people of God in a new way, far away from home, cut off from what's familiar, but still faithful, still connected, still God's people. As we emerge from the isolation of the pandemic, as we are still very careful to keep each other healthy and take care, we also are finding ourselves wondering about the future. We're conscious that going back to the old ways of doing things probably won't work ever exactly as we used to have it. We're conscious of our new financial realities. Being church the way we used to be isn't an option. And I believe that as we wonder about this all, as we look to the future and consider our options, we can take a great deal of comfort from this passage. The people who first heard about the dry bones had no way of knowing that after 70 years they would be allowed to return home. But it happened. History has shown us that this message, this promise, was fulfilled. That's one of the reasons we still read it. God restored the people to life and health, not only as a nation, but as a people able to deal with existential challenges. That time in exile in history has served the Jewish people extremely well. They have since survived multiple exiles, many terrible persecutions, and are still hanging together. Now, our present challenge here at Knox pales in comparison to some of those challenges as we think back over history. there are people alive today. It doesn't feel like history when it's in living memory, who remember the Great Depression and World War II, or at least have heard the stories from their parents and grandparents. So, you know, it's kind of hard for us as we realize that and remember those things going on to feel super anxious about our own future. But we do. And as we do, let's take comfort in the knowledge that over and over again, God has helped people through some incredible problems, overcome remarkable obstacles, and has inspired us to learn new things from those challenges that we have faced. Today, in this situation, we're so much better off than our ancestors. I mean, I can tell you right now, COVID has required us to learn tools of communication that, when I was a kid, they were part of the Jetsons, you know, just science fiction. We've had people discover our congregation through the podcasts and in the Knox Talks blog, and have become involved in Knox as a result of that new kind of communication. It's remarkable. Now, I'm not saying that technology is the magic bullet. It's not necessarily going to save us, although we should remain open always to unexpected possibilities. No, what I'm saying is that this is evidence from our own recent experience that God is already active, breathing life into our dry bones so we can live, so we can thrive. When we gather this coming Saturday and in subsequent sessions to work on developing a vision for the future, we will be actively seeking God's breath, God's spirit, to inspire us and bring new life. I really hope as many as possible can participate in this to discover the new life that God will offer us. Amen. Our hymn, number 382, follows on this theme, "Breathe on this me, breath of God," 382 in Voices United. Offering will now be received. Let us pray. Loving God, life itself is a gift from you, and you keep on giving to us every day so that our lives are full with wonderful blessings. More food than we need, companionship and love, all of the good things of life that enrich us. Now we bring you our thanks, and we ask that you would transform the thanks that is in us into a spirit of generosity and love, that we may share all of your goodness with everyone that we meet, bringing your love to the world. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us now join together in our prayers of thanksgiving and intercession, which will conclude with the sharing of the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Eternal God, you are the one who has seen all of the different ways that humanity can be. Over history, we've had our ups and downs. We've had people who have been completely crushed and hopeless, and who have still been given hope again by you, despite it all. Help us, we pray, as we deal with our daily lives, as we seek to understand what's going on and seek to grasp a vision of the future. Help us to be open. Open to your love, open to your inspiration, open to the hope that you offer that might bring us in totally unexpected directions. Help us be open to each other, to all the different ways that people can demonstrate your grace. Loving God, you have blessed us by bringing us together so that we don't have to be alone. We are a community of your people. It's a gift, and we thank you. So be with us as we gather and go forward as a community into the future. Guide us so that the future we go forward to may reflect your love, may reflect your wishes for all people, and the care that you offer us daily. Gracious God, we remember in prayer those who need the special touch of your hand. At this time, we remember Peggy, who is going forward with some cataract surgery. Comfort her and fill her with confidence, we pray. Watch over her and the people who are caring for her so that their skill is good. Let her heal quickly and without any incidents. We thank you, God, that you do so many amazing things through your servants, through people with special skills, but you call upon all of us to be healers. So help us to bring healing in our relationships and in our lives, bringing grace, bringing hope to relationships, bringing your loving touch to every situation we encounter. Make us healers too. Walk with us now, we pray, as we go forward, as you walked with Jesus, who was on this earth in some of the most difficult times. He came through, he showed us a new way, and he taught us to pray together in these words. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our closing hymn can be found in Voices United at number 424. May the God of Hope go with us, number 424.
Jesus.
now in peace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with each one of you, this day and forevermore.